We're holding on page Tzadik Dalet in Brachos, the paragraph Va'al Haramin, middle of Oiskuf Chav Zayin. The Mishnah had said another thing that you make a bracha on is Va'al Haramin on thunder. So the Gemara asks, on thunder. So the Gemara asks, my Ra'amin. What is thunder? Now, the question, Marsha explains further along, the question is not so much what is thunder. Everybody knows what thunder is. The question is, the Gemara is wondering what causes it. And particularly, the Gemara is going to discuss later. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss what is the purpose for which Hashem made it. Lightning, okay, you know, has a certain practical benefit. In fact, it fertilizes the ground and does various other things. But what exactly does Hashem could have made lightning without thunder? So we'll see. We'll discuss later on what's the ruchniistic reason behind thunder. But first, the Gemara is going to ask what's the gashniistic cause of it. So Mayra Omim, Oma Shmuel, Anoni de Asya Begaugula. It means when clouds come and roll around one next to another. So Rashi gives two explanations. One Begaugula, Rashi says, it means that clouds rub one against the other and you hear a noise from it. Which in fact, I mean, you know, in modern terms, what they say, the light, that's thunder, is basically the sound of the lightning. Yeah, the lightning is an electrical spark. So you have a noise from it, just like when you hear static electricity, it crackles. So it's just a very loud crackle, basically. But yes, they do talk about that it's caused by clouds, clouds not really rubbing, but coming one near the other and causing an electric current to flow. So that's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation Rashi says is, so you have the galgal, as in the Rambam describes, we have it mentioned here and there in the Gemara, that you have galgalim, you have spheres that surround the earth, that carry the sun and the moon and the various stars and planets and what have you. And you have also, there's the galgal hayomi, there's one larger sphere that surrounds all the other ones and turns from east to west. And that's what makes the sun and the moon and the stars rise in the east and set in the west, because it's like gears meshing together. So now Rashi describes that you have clouds rubbing against that galgal, against that sphere, and making a noise. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Kil ramcha b'galgal." The pasuk says the sound of your thunder in the galgal. So according to the first explanation, it means when the clouds are rolling and rubbing one against the other. According to the second one, it's when the clouds are rubbing against the galgal. Heiru brokin tevel. The world is lit up with lightning. Rogze v'tirash ha'aretz. The earth, it trembles, and the earth trembles and shakes. So we see, in other words, that there's a connection between ram, between thunder, and the galgal, as we're saying over here. So that's Shmuel's basis for his explanation. Rav Acha by Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say a different explanation. Anoni d'shafhi mayel hadodi. It's thunder is what you get when the clouds are pouring water one into the other. Shenemar, as you have a pasuk, the kol titay hamoin mayim b'shamayim, at the sound when Hashem puts a great amount of water in the heavens. So in other words, the point is you have a kol, you have a loud sound, a sound of thunder, when there is water being poured around in the heavens from one cloud to another.
So that causes the lightning.
So that causes the thunder we're talking about. The lightning we're going to get to later. But right now the Gemara is dealing with the thunder. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer bar Katakifa. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says what happens is when you have a very powerful lightning bolt, Deborik Ananaya, which you have a lightning bolt that flashes in the clouds, Umitbug Zizi Debarza, and it breaks pieces of hail. So now you have the noise that you hear of the thunder is the noise of hail being shattered by the force of that electrical current of the lightning. Rav Asi, or Ashi Yomar, our fourth one, Anoni Chalchuli Mechalchuli, the clouds are hollow, V'osi Ziko Manshevapumayu. What happens is you have a wind comes and blows over the tops of the clouds, over the hollow insides of the clouds, the Dumi Kizika Pumdoni, so it resembles the kind of sound that you hear if you take empty barrels and you make a wind pass over them, then you hear like an echoing sound. That's the sound of the thunder that you hear. So we have four different explanations. And the Gemara says, when we stab a kid of Achaba Yaakov, it's most logical among these four to say Rab Achaba Yaakov's reason, the Borik Barka, because he's saying that it's associated with the lightning. And we see, Taka, you see a flash of lightning, so he's saying two things. He's saying there's lightning involved, and they're saying that there's breaking up of, of crystals of hail involved. And we see the Baruch Barco, we see that we see a lightning flash, and then we see a noise, and then we hear a noise from the clouds, which is the thunder, but Asi Mitra, and the next thing is we see it's raining. So therefore, so it makes sense that's the order of things. You have the lightning brings about the lightning brings about the breaking up of hailstones, of ice crystals, which then those fall down as precipitation, as rain. So Habonah points out at the bottom of the page that the point is that you would think the best thing should be it should always rain gently. Who needs the thunder? Who needs the lightning? Who needs all those things? So the Gemara is informing us that no, Hashem has very good reasons to make these things happen. As the Gemara is going to explain later, that there's a reason for thunder, and for that reason, the Chachamim also said, so this is Maushar explains, what was bothering the Gemara also is, why is thunder so important to deserve its own brach, especially if it generally comes together with lightning? So, and the answer is, so we're seeing that there are these major weather patterns going on that cause it, so therefore it deserves a bracha, and as the Gemara is going to say later, there's a ruchniistic reason behind it. There's a ruchniistic purpose for it.
But scientifically,
they could show that there's ice. So the clouds do, in fact, contain ice crystals. Yeah. So that's the right. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that it works well with what Abba Chabayak was saying. Yeah. They're tiny. Yeah, but still, they can be called borod. I mean, you know, hail comes in different sizes, right? You know, it's like the old joke: how did they measure hail before golf balls were invented? You know, yeah. But in fact, you do have hail comes in tiny particles also. Then we call it sleet. But still, yeah. Next, the Mishnah had said Ba'ala Ruchos. Another thing you say bracha for is for winds. So my Ruchos, what kind of winds are we talking about? Obviously, you don't make a bracha every time the wind blows. Amar Abaye Zappa. So Abaye says we're talking about a storm wind. So it can mean a hurricane or a tornado. Sure. Actually, Tosfos brings an idea that for a particularly strong one, like a hurricane, you would say Shekoichu Grasim Ala Olam, whereas for a more gentle one, you would say Osa Maisa Bereshis. Lamaisa, the poskim say, we can't really distinguish even a gentle one, we don't mean every time there's a gentle breeze, obviously you're not saying Osa Maisa Bereshis, it has to have some strength to it. So practically speaking, you only say Shekoichu Grasim Ala Olam, and you only say it when you have a particularly strong, noteworthy storm, like a hurricane or something like that. But Amar Abaye, so Abaye says in this connection, Gmiri de Zappa Belelia Lohav. We have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim that you never have a strong wind like that at night. What's the greatness of that is, Maharsha points out, because it's a chesed of the Eivishter, people are asleep at night. They're not going to be able to protect themselves from it. A tornado all of a sudden comes and hits in the middle of the night, and you're a goner, chas v'shalom. So therefore, the Eivishter does a favor, and they only come during the day. So the Gemara asks, v'hokach zinin dehabi, we see that all the time, that you have hurricanes and tornadoes and whatnot by night. The answer is, ahudas chuli b'yamam. Yeah, but it began already during the day. So therefore, the point is, during the day, you already knew it's coming, and you know to take steps to protect yourself. That all of a sudden, it should hit in the middle of the night, that you don't need. V'amar Abaye, also Abaye says, G'miri de zappa beis shori loikoi. We have the Kabbalah that a storm like that never lasts for 2 hours. L'kayim mashenem alay sokom pamayim tzara. As the Pasuk, that fulfills what the Pasuk says, a tzara will not stand up twice. The point is, Maharsha says that each hour there's a different mazel, there's a different siddur for the Eibishter's name that gives our hashpa during that time. So therefore, each hour is considered a separate path. So the Gemara asks again, "B'hokach hazin and dekoi." The fact is, we do see storms that last for 2 hours. The answer is the mafsik beni beni. Yeah, but there's a break in the middle. So in other words, Maharsha says, so therefore, so what that now how the Gemara is explaining the Pasuk is, loy sokom pamayim, it will not stand for 2 hours straight, because if it did, then that would be tzara, that would be a tzara, that would be a trouble, and it would be very destructive. So like this, the Eibishter gives you a break, and you have a break in the middle of it. Like, for example, with a hurricane, you have when the eye passes over, it's calm, the marshal, so you have such things that the Eibishter does a favor and doesn't allow it to be completely destructive. Next, Vala Brokim, the Mishnah had said for lightning. So again, as we talked about yesterday, since lightning almost always comes with thunder, so therefore the Alter Rebbe describes in Hilchos Birkas Hananin, in Seder Birkas Hananin, that the Minhag developed to instead say pretty much almost all the things that the Mishnah says that you can say Shekochu Grasim Ala Olam. The Gemara establishes that if we want, you could say Oisa Maisa Bereshis instead. So the Minhag developed to say Oisa Maisa Bereshis on the lightning and Shekochu Grasim Ala Olam on the thunder. So you're not just repeating the same bracha twice. And the Alter Rebbe explains, since the thunder shows Hashem's power more so than the lightning, as the Gemara is going to say soon, thunder is created in order to make people fear Hashem, then therefore they pick Shekochu Grasim for that, that it shows Hashem's power and his might, whereas for lightning, they use Oisa Maisa Bereshis. So my brokim, so what do we mean by lightning? Now what kind of a question is that? Everybody knows what lightning is. So let's give the answer and then we'll explain. So Omar Rava Barka. So Rava says it means light. So what does that mean? So Marsha explains the vort is all the other ones were mentioned in the plural, ala zikin, vala zva ois, and so forth. Now, not always do those things come in, many times those things come in groups. Let's say, for example, when we, ala zikin, for example, where we said one possibility means meteorites, you usually see groups of meteors in the sky. Same thing, zvois, we said when you have an earthquake, you usually have various shocks one after the other, and so forth. We said that Zikin has there's two possibilities. One is that it's meteorites, the other it's comets. Meteorites are shooting stars. You look up and you go out in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes you'll see at certain times of the year, particularly you'll have a better chance of seeing them. You'll see streaks of light in the sky.
Even if there's no rain
or anything. So modern scientists tell us that they're basically tiny little particles of dust hitting the atmosphere and burning up in it. And then you see from the earth, you see a bright glow over there. Yeah. Anyway, the Mishnah had said, you say Oisa Maisa Bereshis on such things, but those usually come in groups. So it makes sense to use Zikin in the plural. The same thing, Zva Ois, we said means earthquakes. Well, earthquakes, again, usually come in clusters. And the same thing, all the other ones. Lightning, on the other hand, sometimes you have a single lightning bolt. So therefore, the Gemara was bothered by, Marisha says, do you in fact make the bracha on only a single bolt of lightning? And Rava tells us, yes, that's why Rava uses the singular, barka, which is the Aramaic for one lightning bolt, that yes, even if you see only one, you make a bracha. Agav, by the way, so if the storm is close by, then you usually have the thunder and lightning together, then you only make one bracha on the two of them. Then you make Osamai Sabratius, and that covers both of them. When you have, usually you have a few seconds between them because usually the storm is a little ways away. So then you say separate brachas on them. No, you just say each one as you experience it. By the way, you also don't make brachas on the lightning or thunder again during the same storm. Only if the clouds clear up and then it gets overcast and you have another storm, then you would make the brachas again. But you don't make the bracha multiple times for the thunder or the lightning during the same storm. Incidentally, in this connection, by the way, a while back, I asked Rabbi Ozdeba about this. He was saying that you should really only be making the bracha on lightning only if you see the actual bolt of lightning. You know, here in New York, you don't very often. Most of the time, you just see a flash in the sky. According to what he was telling me, not necessarily would you make the bracha on lightning on that. There is a good deal of discussion among poskim also. Sometimes you have what they call heat lightning, which is basically the lightning is just, it's not really, it's from a storm. The storm is so far away that you don't really, not only you don't see the bolt, you don't hear the thunder either. It's too far. So there's a discussion among poskim whether you should say the bracha on that. Anyway. So that's one point. But Slach makes a different point. He says that the Gemara was bothered by given that you always have lightning before thunder, or you have them simultaneously, why did the Mishnah put thunder first? Does that imply maybe that brokim of the Mishnah are not thunder, but rather some other kind of phenomenon that you might see in the sky? And the answer is no. Rava is telling you it means baraka, means exactly what you think it means. It means lightning. V'omar Rava, and the Gemara continues, Rava says, baraka yichida, when you have a single bolt of lightning, or barka chivra, or when you have a white bolt of lightning, or barka yeruksa, or when you have a green or yellowish one. Yoruk in Gemara terminology can mean green, it can mean yellow, sometimes it can even mean blue. Anyway, va'anoni disokan b'keren ma'arobis va'astian b'keren dremis, and when you see clouds that come up from the west corner, and then they come over you from the south, from the southern corner, And also when you see two clouds where one of them is rising one to greet the other, it actually says that they bump into each other. Kulu kashyan, all of those are bad. All of those mean that severe weather is coming.
Clouds,
so all these various things that we mentioned. So the clouds banging together, we said causes thunderstorms. It was one of the explanations in the Gemara before. It's the cause of thunderstorms. As far as these various other ones, they have, for example, they talk about when there's a tornado, sometimes you see like greenish lightning before it. So that may be what Rava means over here by Barka Yeruksa. When you see a greenish bolt of lightning, means a tornado is on the way. And similarly with some of the other ones. The Gemara asks the Mayan Nafkamina, why do we need to know that point? And the answer is l'mivi rachmi, that you should be davening for rachmanus from the Eidishter, that the storm shouldn't be that severe. However, the Gemara adds v'hani mili b'leilya. All of this is only if you see these things by night. But if you see these things happening in the morning, then there's no substance there because morning clouds tend to dissipate very quickly. In fact, Amr of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Hani Anoni the Tzatra, Les Bohum Shosha. Clouds in the morning don't have any substance to them. They tend to dissipate very quickly. Which also the Gemara in Tainus also mentions. The relevance of that is that if you see clouds in the morning during a time when there's a drought, don't think it necessarily means rain's coming, because they may just disappear as fast as they came. And in fact, you have a pasuk that expresses this idea. The Navi says to the Jewish people, your chesed is like a morning cloud. In other words, Hashem is saying, even when you sometimes do good, it disappears as quickly as a cloud in the morning. So you need to do better. So the Gemara says, Amalei da popol abaya, ha amri inchi. What do you mean? Don't people say, kidemiftach bavi mitra, if when you open your doors in the morning, you see rain. Bava means the door or the gate. So when you open the gate in the morning, if you see rain, bar chamra, you, the donkey driver, moich sakich, you may as well fold back up your bag, begoni, and go back to sleep. Donkey drivers in those days were you could think of them as the equivalent of truck drivers nowadays. They bring produce and they bring supplies from point A to point B. So among other things, they would bring grain from point A to point B. The point is that Rapapa is saying, the popular expression has it, that if he wakes up in the morning and sees it's raining, he may as well go back to sleep, because he's not going to make much of a profit on his selling grain. Because there's rain falling, everybody knows, therefore prices are soon going to come down, because now it means there's going to be a nice sized crop. So therefore, he's not going to be able to sell his grain at much of a profit. So he may as well go back to sleep. So we see, in other words, that he is waking up in the morning and it's raining. So you see, in other words, that clouds in the morning do have substance and they do produce rain. And the answer is, like Kasha, hodr kotr be'iva, hodr kotr ba'anon. The difference is, whether you see the sky is overclassed with thick clouds, then yes, it means that actual rain is going to come from them, as opposed to if it's overcast with thin clouds, then no, it means they're going to dissipate very, they're going to evaporate very quickly and nothing much is going to come from them. And that's the kind, so the kind that we tell the donkey driver, you may as well go back to sleep, is talking about thick clouds. The posuk is talking about thin clouds. Not always, but we're saying that if you see them in the morning, if you see heavy clouds in the morning, then yeah, the rain is likely to be a substantial rain. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Ksanri, Omer Rabbi Sherman Levi, Loi Nivru Ra'omim El Kadei Lifshutak Mumias Shebalei. The only reason Hashem created thunder is in order to straighten out the crookedness of the heart. In other words, Maharsha says, again, like we said before, what purpose does thunder serve exactly? Lightning, Mela, serves a purpose, we can understand. But what purpose does thunder serve when the Eibishter could have just as well made that there'll be lightning without thunder? So the reason is, in order that it should startle people, so Maharsha says particularly the minim, that they should do tshuva. In fact, he says, earlier in the Masechta, when we talk about the 18, later 19 brachas of Shemana Esrei, we said that, so later on they added Birkas HaMinim, and the Gemara discussed over there, given that we have various Ramazim and Psukim and in other places for 18 brachas, then there needs to be a remez for this 19th bracha that they added. So we said, in Mizmor LeDavid Hovel Hashem Bnei Elim, Kapitel Chav Tes, there's 18 times where it says, there's 18 times where it says Hashem's name, where it says Yudke Vavke, and then you have, it says Keil HaKovid Hirim, that Hashem thunders. So that they use as the basis for Birkas HaMinim. So therefore, Maharsha says that connects that with over here, that the Eibishter made, that thunder should startle and frighten the Minim, that they should do tshuva. As the pasuk says, Hashem made that people should fear him. Before, we learned that in connection with dreams, that Hashem sometimes gives, even said Hashem gives tzaddikim bad dreams in order to startle them and then get them to do a greater level of tshuva. So now we're saying that if people have an actual crookedness in their heart, then thunder helps straighten that out. They're afraid, Parsha. The person hears thunder, it startles them, and it should shake them out of their complacency and realize that the Eidishter runs the world and they better be on good terms with him. Yeah. Everyone hears thunder, yeah, it startles them. The Romans in those times had one of their main getchkes, one of their main gods. They called the Thunderer, like that. They considered that to be his big koyach. So maybe that's why the Gemara points out over here. No, forget about thunder. Thunder is not his thing. Thunder is the Eivishter's thing in order to make Minim or other people who might be believing in such shtusim to get them to realize the truth.
If a person sees the rainbow in the clouds,
he needs to fall on his face because the Shechina appears in the rainbow. Now, we don't do that. Hold that thought a second. As the Pasuk says, Yechezkel describes at the end of his description of Maisa Merkava, he sees the Chayes HaKodesh who are attending on Hashem and carrying Hashem's throne and so on and so forth. And he says, Kemare HaKeshes HaShiyah Ba'anun V'Gomer, like the appearance of the rainbow that appears in the clouds. And he continues, Hum Dmus Marek V'od Hashem. This is the semblance of the appearance of the glory of Hashem. So therefore, in the rainbow, there's a semblance of the glory of the Shechina of Eivishter. And in fact, he continues, I saw that and I fell on my face. So therefore, Rabbi Alexandria is saying we should do the same thing.
This is
Yechezkel, said the Zeh. We have that Kerek of Yechezkel, that third of the first day Shavuos. So yeah, we read it then. So because in fact the connection is, by the way, that by Matan Torah, the Jewish people also saw the Maisim Merkava. They also saw a tremendous Gilu Shechina. So and Yechezkel also in his time saw a semblance of it. So therefore, that's the connection. Anyway, however, the Gemara says, "Lighti alav ma'arav." However, they criticized, or "lighti" literally means they cursed in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. Anybody who follows that statement of Rabbi Alexandri, "Mishum nemechzi k'mandu kasogid l'kashta," because then it looks, after all, people aren't going to realize that you're bowing to the Shechina, which is in the rainbow. People are going to think you're bowing to the rainbow, as if you're making the rainbow itself a god. So you shouldn't do that. Avo baruchi vade mivre. But there's no question that you should say a bracha when you see the rainbow. The point being, Maharsha says, the chiddush of that statement is, you shouldn't, so if you can't bow to, if you can't bow to the, in front of the rainbow, because it may look like you're bowing to it, maybe by the same token, you shouldn't say a bracha when you see the rainbow, because it's going to look like you're saying a bracha to the rainbow. No, the Gemara is saying that that's not a problem. So my mevorich. So what should you say as the bracha? So you say the bracha Baruch Zoicher Abris, blessed is Hashem who remembers his covenant with the world, that he promised not to bring a marble, and Hashem keeps his covenant. So in other words, Maharsha says you're not even saying, it's not even so much the rainbow itself that's important. You're saying the rainbow is only a symbol of Hashem's covenant. So now it doesn't look at all as though you're saying a bracha to the rainbow. Now in a brisa we learn Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Rabbi Yechim and Broika Omer Neman bevrisa v'kayim ma'amore. The nusach of the bracha that you should say is that Hashem is faithful in His covenant and keeps His word. So Maharsha explains that the point of that bracha is v'kayim ma'amore means what? How does the rainbow come about in the first place? So in Pirkei Avos we have that it was one of the things that Hashem created erev Shabbos bein Hashmashos. But later on, then Hashem put it as the symbol of the bris. So the point is that it already exists by Hashem's word ever since Sheshes Mevareshes. But now Hashem makes it appear at the appropriate time. So therefore, that's the v'kayim ma'amore. The Omer Papa, so now the Papa says, Hilkach, since we have the stomach of the Gemara saying Zeicher Abris, and a Braisa saying Nemen Ris and Kaim Amore, Nemrin Lahula Tavayu, we should compromise and say both of them. So we say Baruch Zeicher Abris, Nemen Ris of Kaim Amore. So we say all three of them. And in fact, there's a Ben Yehoyada says, you know, you think about it, the rainbow has many colors, and appropriately, you have a many faceted bracha that you say on it. There's a famous vort that they say, I don't remember the mocker of it, that says there are 10 places in Shas where the Papa does that, where you have a machloikas about how a certain bracha should be formulated. We're going to have one later on in our Gemara as well. And the Papa gives a compromise and says you should say all of them. Therefore, in the schus of that he brought shalom between the chachamim in 10 places is why he was zoicha to the 10 sons that we mentioned at a hadron, Chanunim Papa, Rami Papa, etc. One explanation is they were in fact, so one explanation is they weren't the sons of Rapapa. There was just, they're the names of chachamim who are mentioned here and there in Shas from different generations. But there is an explanation that all 10 of them are in fact the sons of the Rapapa in our Gemara, and that was a schus because in 10 places he made shalom between the chachamim.
Cool.
Rapapa, because we're saying in 10 places he made a compromise like that on the Nusach of a Baruch. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah said, Allah Horim Balak Voris, when you see mountains and hills, meaning particularly noteworthy mountains and hills, like you see, for example, the Rockies or the Alps or Mount Everest or what have you, then you say, Oysa Maisa Bereshis. So the Gemara asks, "Oti kol hani damor and hashalat ma'isa b'reishis ninu." So what do you mean? Everything else that was listed in the Mishnah until now is not something Hashem created at creation. V'aksi brokim lamata osa. After all, the pasuk says Hashem created lightning to go together with the rain, implying, in other words, that. So all of them were created by Hashem. Why shouldn't we say Oysa Maisa Bereshis in the same way on lightning? Let's say the Mishnah had said you say Shekochu Grosim Alayim. I'm going to buy Kroich B'Tonim. So Abaye says you're right. You have to combine them all together. That what you do is the Mishnah is listing a bunch of things that it says Oysa Maisa Bereshis and a bunch of things that you say Shekochu Grosim Alayim. And in fact, you combine them together and say that for each one of them you say both of them. Because they show Hashem's power, and they also are things that Hashem created. Rava says no. Hasim avarach tauti baruch shekoichud mala olam ve'oisem ayis v'reishis. No, with the things that were listed until now in the Mishnah, you can say both. For example, you have thunder and lightning, where you have a particularly strong storm or whatever. Then you can say either bracha. You can say shekoicha v'rasim ala olam because they show Hashem's power and they fill the world in the sense that they're experienced in many different places in the world. And you can say osimai sevadeshes because these are things that Hashem created during the 6 days of creation. Hacha, but here when we're talking about, for example, you see particular mountains or seas or oceans and so forth, that the Mishnah has a whole list of things. You can only say you cannot say on them, because how can you say they don't fill the world? There's only one place, there's only certain places you go in the world and you'll see these particular mountains. There's only certain places in the world where you'll go and you'll see this particular ocean, etc. So therefore, those you can only say Oisamai Sperecious, as opposed to the other ones, you have your choice of Shekochu Grasim Ala Olam or Oisamai Sperecious, because they are experienced in different places all over the world. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, Haroya Rakia Betar Rasa, if a person sees the sky in its purity, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second what that means, Oima Baruch Oisamai, then he also says the Baruch Oisamai Sperecious on that. A Masai, so what does that mean when you see the sky perfectly clear? I'm going to buy a kiosim mitra kulilaria when it was raining the entire night. Obit Safra, Osi Istina, in the morning the north wind comes. Istina is the Gemara's name for the north wind, Omagalya Lahulashmaya, and it clears up the sky, and now you have a completely clear sky. So therefore, so you have like it's now, so Marsha explains, in other words, it's now something new. It's as if like now you have the sky is like it was at Maisa Bereshis. The sky was originally created without clouds. So now you have, then that's an appropriate time to say a bracha, like Hashem is recreating the sky as it was at Maisa Bereshis. However, the Gemara says, "Pliga derachna bar papa." However, this explanation and this statement that you should say the bracha on that disagrees with Rav Rambam Papa, Amar Rav Chista, in the name of Rav Chista, the Amar Rav Rambam Papa, Amar Rav Chista, Miyoyim Shechara Beis HaMikdash, ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Loi Niras Rakia B'Tar Rasa, the sky has never been seen perfectly clear. There's always clouds somewhere in it. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Albus Shamayim Kadrus, Hashem says, I clothe the heavens with darkness, the sack osim ksusam, and I make them covered with sackcloth.
So in other words, so
right in the Golos,
in the time of Golos. So therefore, in other words, so the point is, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's and Abaye's explanation is something that you can have all the time. It happens very often. It rains all night, and then in the morning, the clouds clear up. But Raphim Bar Papa is telling us that no, even then, there are actually clouds somewhere in the sky. You may not notice them. They may be very small or insubstantial or whatever, but they're there, and therefore it's not Batargos. And in fact, the poskim accept that, which is why we don't say that brach nowadays.
Whenever you fly with a plane, you're going 20,000
miles. It's true, then you see the sky clear. But even then, I guess, if you're not going to say the bracha here on earth, the pashtus, the chacham, aren't going to be the sack and a bracha only when you're above the atmosphere. Yeah. Okay. So I guess even according to Raphim Bar Papa, we'll say it lost in love. We'll say it when Mashiach comes. Okay. Tanan Abanan, the Gemara says, we also learn in a Braisa, Haroya Chama B'Tkufasa, when a person sees the sun in its Tkufa, which is the Birkas HaChama that we have every 28 years, as the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines, Levona B'Gvurasa, when a person sees the moon in its strength, and we'll explain in a second what that is, V'Kechavim B'Msiloysam, he sees the stars in the Kechavim really means the planets, Bimsiloisam in their proper courses, or Mazolis Kisidran, or when he sees the Mazolis in their proper, in the constellations in their proper order, Oyma Baruch Oysa Bereshis. So on all of those, you say Oysa Maisa Bereshis. The Rambam defines them as follows. Chama B'Tkufasa, the Gemara is going to explain in a second, is Birkas HaCham. Levona B'Gvurasa would be if at the beginning of the month, the first time the moon is visible, it's exactly at Mazel Tle, which is the first of the Mazolis, and it's not like this. You have the moon different times of the year. It's found in different parts of the sky. Like this, you have that Rambam describes. If when the moon rises, it's exactly in Mazel Tle and not inclining, not any north or south of that, then that would be what the Gemara means by Levona B'Gvurasa. So in other words, like this, Mazel Tle is a constellation, it's a group of stars. Any heavenly body, the sun, the moon, any of the planets, we can describe them as being in a certain mazel, in the sense, in other words, you look at that heavenly body, and as the background stars behind it, you see the stars of a particular constellation. So for example, when we talk about, let's say that the mazel of Nisan is Tle. And what it means is that if you wake up in the morning to watch the sun rise during Nisan time, the background stars that you will see as the sun is rising are the stars of Mazel Tle. And then a month later, they'll be the ones of Mazel Shur, and a month later of Mazel Toymim, and so forth. And so it circles like that across the 12 mazolos of the eclipse. Nowadays, actually, the Rambam explains, and then modern science says also that they've shifted a little bit nowadays. When the sun rises, Nisan time, it's not in Tle, it's actually in Dovid, because things over time, over a period of thousands of years, things shift a little bit.
You see when you get up in the morning,
you see the sun rising, for example. So you'll see during Nisan time, the sun is supposed to be rising in Mazel Tle. In English, it's called Aries. You'll see the background stars behind it are going to be the stars of that mazel. And similarly with the moon, when you look up in the sky and you see the moon, if you're familiar with the constellations, or if you have a good star map, or nowadays if you have an app for the purpose, then you can look up and it'll show you that the moon is located in the constellation such and such. In other words, the stars that you see in the background behind it and around it are the stars of such and such a constellation. So now that Rambam describes Levona, so Levona B'Gvurasa would mean if you see the moon rising and you see it exactly in front of Mazel Tle and not any north or south of that, then you would say the bracha Oysa Mais Bereshis. So Birkas HaChama, there's a fixed schedule, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Levona B'Gvurasa and the rest of these things, there are not. And in fact, the poskim say, practically speaking, we don't make these brachas on these things because only it would take an expert astronomer to know when you have these exact conditions. The average person is not really going to be able to figure it out. So the Kechavim B'Msiloisam, similarly, the Rambam explains, any of the planets, if you see Mercury or Venus or Mars or what have you, rising exactly in front of Mazel Tle, and again, not any north or any south of that, then that would be what it means by Kechavim B'Msiloisam. Mazolis Kisidron, that Rambam explains, means when you see Mazel Tle itself rising exactly in the east, which happens usually once a year, Nisan time.
But again, the poskim say that practically speaking, since it's hard for the average person to know when these things take place, therefore we don't make the bracha. And anyway, the truth is there are actually different understandings among some of the Rishonim. The Aruch, for example, has a different definition of some of these things. So because of that, because of Suffolk Barachas Lahakol, so we don't actually say the bracha. So the Gemara says, Ve'emas Hathi. Now, as far as Chama B'Tkufasa, when does that take place? Amar Abaya, Kol Chof Ches Shnin, every 28 years, V'Hodr Machzer, when the Machzer repeats. Now you have like this. For this purpose, we're considering. Now, the Rambam describes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that there are two different lengths that we can talk about the length of a solar year. A solar year is 365 days plus a few hours. How much is the few hours? So you have two different calculations that the Chachamim made. You have Shmuel's calculation, which says that the excess is exactly 6 hours. And then you have Rav Ada's calculation, which makes it about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes shorter than that. So now, following Shmuel's calculation, so you have like this, the beginning of every season is called the Tkufa. Officially, for example, Tkufas Nisan is when the sun is at 0 degrees in front of Mazel Tleh, and Tkufas Tammuz would be when the sun is 90 degrees away from there in front of Mazel Sartan, and so on and so forth, and each one, the appropriate one, Mazel Moznayim for Tishrei, and Mazel Gdi for Tevis. So that's the definition of the Tkufa. According to Shmuel, since the whole year is 365 days and 6 hours, and he also counts each Tkufa as being exactly the same length. Astronomically, it's not exactly like that, but that's the approximation that Shmuel uses, which we use for purposes of halacha. We also use it for mashab. We also use it for the same Talmud Torah. So it comes out, therefore, if you have, let's say, 1 year, Tkufas Nisan is Tkufas Nisan is Wednesday, 6 o'clock in the morning, the next year it's going to be an hour, a day and 6 hours later, because 365 days is 52 weeks in 1 day, so plus another 6 hours. So if it was Wednesday morning 1 year, then the next year Tkufas Nisan will be Thursday at noon. And the next year after that, it'll be Friday at 6 p.m. And the next one after that, it'll be midnight between Shabbos and Sunday. And so forth. So now, if you calculate like that, Abaya is saying, after 28 years, you're going to have the Tkufa is going to be at the same time. It's going to be Tuesday at 6 p.m., which is the next point that he's going to say. Now, when Hashem created the sun and the moon, he created them on the fourth day of Maase Bereishis. The beginning of a day, we know Vayi'erev Vayivoker, you always have the evening first, then the morning. So therefore, when the Eibishter created the sun and the moon, he created them at the on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. is when Wednesday is when the fourth day of Maase Bereishis began. Therefore, every 28 years since then, when according to Shmuel's calculation, the sun is again, the Tkufa is going to be again, the Tkufa, the official time when the sun is in front of Mazel Tleh, is going to be the same time of the week, Tuesday at 6 p.m., then that is the time when we say Birkas HaChama, but we don't do it at night, we do it the following morning, we do it Wednesday morning, which is why Birkas HaChama is always Wednesday morning. The last one we had was Erev Pesach in Tavshin Samach Tes. The next one is scheduled to be in Tavshin Sadik Zayin. The Hebrew date varies from one time to the next because it goes according to the secular. It goes according to the secular dates, but it's always Wednesday. It's always Wednesday morning. It's always in this century. It's always April 8th. That's a whole nother matter, which I'm not even going to get into the details now. Over time, that gradually shifts. If anybody now is alive in the 22nd century, it'll actually be April 9th then. But that's another matter which we're not even going to get into now. That has to do with the same reason the same Talmud Torah moves over time. But whatever. Anyway.
So what you said about the year is 365 and a quarter day, 6 hours.
Right. So
what does that mean as far as the sun moving around?
So one second. Okay. Now, the fact is, first of all, there's also Rav Ada's calculation. And Rav Ada's calculation, by the way, is the one we use for deciding when it should be a leap year. We don't actually follow Shmuel's calculation as far as Birkas HaChama and also as far as the same Talmud Torah. But as far as the layout of which years are regular years and which ones are leap years, for that actually we use Rav Ada's calculation because it's a little more accurate. According to Rav Ada's calculation, you wouldn't have Birkas HaChama because it doesn't run on a 28-year cycle like that. According to him, it would take thousands of years for it to come back to the same moment. And in fact, even Rav Ada's calculation is not perfectly accurate either. Astronomically, it's also about 6 minutes too long. So over time, which is exactly why these dates shift over time.
But yeah.
Well, what I said, see, the year is 365 and a quarter days.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? What the sun comes back to the same place?
So the sun comes back to the same place relative to the stars. The stars barely move. The stars, so one second, the stars of the constellations like Tle and Shur and the rest of them barely move. Like over thousands of years, they might move a tiny bit. Because they're very far away. So from our vantage point, they don't look like they move. So relative to them, then when the sun, when it returns to the same position relative to those stars, is what we're talking about. It's called B'tkufa. Yeah. So and Abaya finishes off B'hodr Machzor. So the Machzor repeats this Machzor of 28 years. V'nafla T'kufas Nisan B'Shabsai, and T'kufas Nisan comes out during the hour of Shabsai, which is B'ursa D'Tlas on the evening following Tuesday, Nagi Dalet going into Wednesday. So we have, there's an idea that the seven major heavenly bodies that we see move, the sun and the moon and the five and five of the planets down up to and including Saturn. The Gemara mentions in various places that each one of those has a shlita, each one of those has a certain influence over the world for 1 hour, and then the next one takes over. This is the basis of why we don't make Kiddush between 6 and 7 on Friday night, because it comes out that hour, based on this calculation, is the hour of Mad. Is the hour of Mars, and that's an inappropriate time to bring in Shabbos. When Madim is associated with war and disaster and whatever. So what it is, for example, Friday night, let's say, between 6 and 7 is the hour of Madim. Then after that would be the hour of the next Mazel. After that would be the Mazel. After that would be the hour of Chama. And after that of Noiga and so forth. Until it keeps on going, keeps on rotating around the week. Both during the day and during the night. Yeah, we're not talking
24
about
hours.
20 each. Yeah, what it is you have 24 hours in a day, and you have 7 days in a week. So each one of the mazolas has a shlita 24 times during the week. It so happens that the madim comes out on the first hour of the night of Friday night, which is why we don't make kiddush. So now Abaya is saying, but
it's only Friday night. Or is it every
day? It's only Friday night. Only Friday night.
Done. Yeah. Every day, 24 hours.
Yeah.
The sixth day of the week, it's four.
Yeah, by the way, here's an interesting thing to realize about it. The names that we use in English for the days of the week are actually based on that system as well, except using the German names for the various gods that they associated with these planets. If you look at the calculation, the way the Gemara lays it out, the first hour of the morning on Sunday, the mazel that's in charge is the sun. Therefore, Sunday. The next day, it's the moon. Therefore, Monday. The next day, it's Mars. In many languages, in Spanish, for example, they call it Martes. They call Tuesday Martes. In English, we call it Tuesday because that was the German name for the god that they associated with Mars. Wednesday, Mercury. Thursday, and then, for example, in Spanish, they call it Miraculous. Thursday, Jupiter. Friday, Venus. And Shabbos, Saturn, which is why in English it's called Saturday. So it actually uses the same system as the Gemara is talking about over here to name the days of the week. Anyway, so Abaya is saying the first hour of the night between 6 and 7 on Tuesday night is one of the hours during the week of Shabsai. Therefore, he's describing when the T'kufa is at the beginning of the hour of Shabsai on Tuesday, which is Saturn, on Tuesday night going into Wednesday, and that happens once every 28 years, that is the time when you say Birkas Hachama the following morning.
On Wednesday morning.
You can't say it by night because the sun's already setting. So instead you say it the following morning when you see the sun in its glory. Agav, there's a lot of books that have been published about this. A lot of them, of course, are published on 28-year intervals because comes Birkas Hachama every time there was a flurry of interest in all this. Yeah. Yom Yem Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola, Chof Gimel Tevis. So La'osid Lava, it says that Shemana Esri will be Bekil Ram, will be louder. So the Torah explains that nowadays we daven quietly, only nowadays when Nukva, when the feminine is Makabel, not Mashpia. La'osid Lava, when the Nukva will be elevated and become the Mashpia, then Shemana Esri will be out loud, then we'll hear the Kol Kala. Because we say Kol Chosam, the Kol Kala, nowadays we don't hear the Kol Kala, but we will. So Tzorech Iyun, the Rebbe says, since our Pnimiyas HaTorah, the whole reason for davening quietly is that's what davening is supposed to be, because the bittul of Metzius, and that's the true meaning of what Tfilas Amida is all about, Keneged Olam Atzilus. How could it be that La'osid Lovei we're going to be davening out loud, which is Hepech HaBittul? So the explanation will continue tomorrow, Rebbe Hashem.
Yeah, what you said about, I will count it.
Let's do a halacha right now, because it's getting late, and then you can ask me afterwards. Okay, a halacha. We're talking about the halachas of a brachas achronis on food. On radishes, you say berta pri hadama. On garlic and onions also, if they're soft and you can eat them raw, even though usually you only eat them with bread, but even if you eat them without bread, you would still say hadama. But once they got older and then they're very sharp and you don't normally eat them raw, so if a person does eat them raw, then he would say shakol.
What is that?
Garlic? He says garlic and onions. Let's say, for example, if you eat scallions, you would say hadama. It would say hadama on them. Because normal to eat scallions raw. But if, let's say, you take a mature onion and the onion, you bite into it, then you would say shakol.